Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit ancestry.com/health.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. In this day and age, with all the worries, all the riots, all the violence, all the COVID, everything you're facing, it's never been more important to get a good night's rest. And you need every advantage in getting the deepest, most sound sleep you can possibly get. That's why I'm thrilled that my friend Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to make sure you can deeper, faster, and longer than ever before. That's why he's offering the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza sheets. That's why he continues to offer you the lowest price on the best selling pillow of all time. And all MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer. That's MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for your buy one, get one free on the Giza sheets, the special price on the pillows, etc. You can also dial 800-506-2641 and use the promo code KMC.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I was a fighter in the 70s. And when the 2000s hit, I had my shoulder operated on, and I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. And I heard the commercials, and I thought, well, I might as well try this. I had retired from teaching karate in the late 90s. And right now, I'm teaching again every week since I've been taking Balance of Nature. I'm back at it. And I'm actually sparring with these kids. I'll be 65 in June. It's almost like your body's been starving for this. And you start feeding it, and then everything starts reversing itself. It's just a great thing. I'll keep being one of your preachers of this because it just works. And I can't thank Balance of Nature enough.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KMC.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
We've got a lot to get to. Thank you for being here. Kevin McCullough, coming up, thoughts on how not only COVID and the pandemic and the violence and the city is being managed or not by the current mayor. We'll get reaction from Kristen B. Tate, John Catsimatidis, and others on exactly what we need to do next. I'm Kevin McCullough. Let's get going.
Binge thinking.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Failure to quarantine is a violation of state law, and it comes with serious penalties. In fact, under certain circumstances, the fines can be as high as $10,000.
You know what he just said? And it's a lie, by the way. Replay that cut, Alex.
Failure to quarantine is a violation of state law. And it comes
no,
with
it's not.
Penalties.
Stop the tape. Mayor lying de Blasio, running his mouth, saying things that aren't true. Play it again.
Failure to quarantine is a violation of state law, and it comes with
no,
serious
it's
penalties.
Not. It is not a violation of state law. Whatever else Mayor Wilhelm Warner wants to call it, whatever else Andrew Cuomo may pretend to think that it is, the violation of the quarantine is not a violation of state law. Was there a legislative body that passed this? Alex, did you see the Assembly and the Senate come together and pass a bill that said we're going to quarantine under these circumstances? Tell me the truth. You watch the news every day.
No, I only saw this coming from Cuomo as nothing. It wasn't implemented.
Okay, so there's no legislative action. Therefore, no law. De Blasio is lying to your face. He's saying it's a violation of state law. It's not the law. It's not the law to follow his wishes and suggestions and executive orders as it pertains to quarantine. This is a mayor who's drunk with power, doesn't understand the limits of his own constitutional empowerment, and he certainly doesn't understand anything about the taxpayers of New York City or of the surrounding areas understanding their rights. But here's his new thing with this, you know, new power he has. Oh, big, tough guy. Out-of-state travelers could face up to $10,000 in fines if they break New York City's two-week quarantine rule. And how are they going to enforce it? Checkpoints set up at entry points into the city. I asked this question on this very show, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? Like, well, we're going to add 37,000 states to the do not travel list. Basically, you can't go anywhere from New York and New Jersey except New York and New Jersey. And then I don't even think New York lets you come back if you go to New Jersey. For some reason, New Jersey's never had the self-esteem to tell New Yorkers where to go, but New York does it to New Jersey all the time. Currently, travelers from 35, quote, high-risk infection states and Puerto Rico must quarantine for 14 days or face a $2,000 fine. The new crackdown includes random checkpoints at major bridge and tunnel. Seriously? You're going to put a toll booth on the GWB and you're going to make people stop their commute and do what? Pull over, take a temperature test? You're gonna make them fill out paperwork? Bill de Blasio? The lovely bride saw this story connected to someone else's social media post today, and she's like, it's Checkpoint Charlie. That's exactly what it is. It's going from the free world of other states in the United States to the communist dictatorships of New York and New Jersey. Can't you just see it? They're going to have the guys in the long coats with the heavy little military hats on them and the big arms that like raise when you've been given the permission to cross, and they're going to lower back down. De Blasio said in that same press conference where he lied. Play the clip again, Alex. This is a mayor lying to the people.
Failure to quarantine is a violation of state law, and it comes
what
with
law?
Serious
what law?
Penalties.
What law? What statute? What number? Where is it in the code? He is so full of himself. The new crackdown includes random checkpoints at bridge and tunnel crossings, up to $10,000 fines. Now, it's very interesting. A very good reporter for Newsweek. Newsday? Newsweek. Rachel Shapiro, Murano. She made the observation today on social media. What's to keep people from lying about where they came from? Because, listen, if you're coming into New York City from Connecticut or New Jersey, you're just coming from Connecticut or New Jersey. There's no one with the Checkpoint Charlies at the other sides of those states. And this is the insane part. So you've got this story on the New York Post with the headline, you know, de Blasio, $10,000 fines, checkpoints for travelers flouting New York City quarantine. And in the same page under the more on the coronavirus section of the New York Post website, Cuomo begs the rich to return to NYC. Come over, I'll cook. These two clowns, this clownish governor, this clownish mayor, the ones who killed more senior citizens in their state and city than all the rest of the states and cities combined. Did you know, Andrew Cuomo, that your idiotic policy of putting COVID-positive patients in nursing homes killed nearly six times the number of people we lost on 9/11? You utter moronic fool. And your kid brother, the guy you can't get along with down in Mayorville, down here in the city running things, when he pretends to run things, normally he's just out painting gigantic yellow letters on New York City streets. But today he holds a press conference to announce $10,000 fines if you violate the two-week quarantine rule. Friends, remember how this all started? It was to flatten the curve, which didn't get flattened in New York and New Jersey, even though Dr. Fauci seems to be under the misguided impression that they didn't flatten it, they burned it down. Yeah, the house will stop, you know, the house fire will stop when water is poured on it and you extinguish it, or when it burns to the embers and leaves the ashes behind. That's what Cuomo and de Blasio did in New York. They just let people die, and they killed out all the vulnerable people. Now they're patting themselves on the back. Look at what a great job we did. Yeah, you killed all of the grannies. You won't let the kids go to school. You're announcing checkpoints to get into the city that is dying from lack of people going to it. And now you've got them begging the rich to return. Why would they return, dummy? Why would they have any motivation to come back to the city, Mr. Cuomo? Mr. de Blasio? You're gonna ask them, did you go somewhere? Did you go to your vacation home in some state where we didn't have permission? Did you have some vacation home in a state that we said was on the naughty list? You're begging them to come back? You're going to make them pay the $10,000 fine? Or are you going to have them over to cook for dinner? Friends, are you tired of this? Are you tired of your freedoms and your life and your everything that is associated with your existence right now in this city? Are you sick of this? Please do something about it the next time you have a chance to, and that starts in November. Don't send the same people back to Washington. Don't send the same people back to City Hall next year. Don't send the same people back to Albany. Have some moxie and self-respect and say, I'm worth more than what these lousy politicians and leaders, quote unquote, of our city and state are doing to us. Friends, I can only beg and plead with you. I can't make you do it. I know for darn well what the McCulloughs will do come November and next year. I'm so committed to this. We've got to get rid of every single one of these lousy louses that lie. They are just unbelievable. While they're killing Granny and fining you, robbing you of your freedoms. Enough's enough. All right, Kevin McCullough, we got a lot to get to. Tate, Katsimatidis, a whole bunch of others are here. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you are continuing to hear about the COVID crisis around the world, you need to understand that it is more important now than ever before that you are active in promoting your own immune system. Your strong immune system is the best defense against a virus doing something bad to your body. And that's why no other product that I've ever used myself, nor heard or seen the research of, has ever done as good of a job for me personally as Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables. By consuming more fruits and vegetables, you are getting everything you need in your immune system to be stronger. And right now, you can do it for 35% off the new preferred order and get free shipping. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and making sure you get the best price by using the discount code KMC. That's 800-246-8751. Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've been telling you about what would happen in the event of a national financial downturn. And guess what? It's here. The markets have erased all of its profits since the last election. And in just a few weeks, you saw a bull market get wiped out completely. Are you prepared?
Are you prepared to take even deeper losses on your paper investments? This is one of the reasons why I've been telling you you need to get the information about the coming bail-in from David Fisher and Landmark Capital. You also need to be hedging some of the protection of your portfolio with things that won't go down every time the market gets a flutter. Paper always does, but gold won't. And that's why I'm buying my gold these days with Landmark Capital. Call them today and have them assess your portfolio. Figure out if you're protected, and if you're not, ask them how to get you on a plan to do just that. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
Libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Will the vice president debate Donald Trump this fall?
Oh, yes, he will. I think they've already, I think it's three debates that they decided on. So, yeah, he'll be there.
I think it's two.
Yeah, I think, maybe. Sort of, okay, yes, I'm Dr. Jill Biden, and I'm sounding kind of like my dementia patient husband, Joe Biden. No, I'm kidding. You shouldn't kid, though. Shouldn't do that. See, if Andrew Cuomo were here, he'd be mad at me. How dare you kid about old people? Well, it's better than killing them in COVID-positive senior homes, right, there, Governor? Anyway, welcome. It's Kevin McCullough. Glad you're with us. You just heard that custom intro once again. That means a number of things. It means that Alex is in the control room, in the master control room. It means that KMC is on the mic, and that means Kristen B. Tate is back with us after my week away, and she had to put up with Joe Borelli's fawning. Did you survive Borelli's interview last week, Kristen? You know he's one of your biggest fans, and you just make him nervous as all get out.
I survived. I'm one of his fans too. So.
No, he thinks you are just an amazing mind, as we all do. That's why you do this show. That's why I asked you to be on here. But I could tell when I was listening to the podcast, he just lost his breath a couple of times. I thought, Joe, just calm down, man. She's a real person. Anyway, welcome back. Good to have you. So you heard Jill Biden say it right there, Joe Lockhart, and I don't understand why he did it, but on Sunday this week, he comes out and for 24 hours floats this idea of Joe Biden not doing the debate. And man, all I saw was, you know, slapping him up one side and down the other, saying if he doesn't show up, I mean, they've got an enthusiasm gap problem. There's only 40% of Democrats that are highly enthused about their candidate. But what I was reading was if he doesn't show up to debate, Kristen, it's a done deal. And I think it was stupid that they even floated the balloon. But you kind of had a different take on this. You thought for a while they were going to try to get out of the debates.
Oh, I've been saying that for months. I would be shocked if there's a debate at this point. And they're not even using COVID as an excuse anymore. They're just being flagrant on the left and saying, oh, well, Joe Biden shouldn't debate Trump because we don't want to give a platform to Trump's racist ideas and fake facts. So they're not even trying to hide it anymore. They know their candidate has dementia. And really, Kevin, why would Joe Biden debate? If I were advising him, I would tell him not to debate. All Joe Biden needs to do right now is be dead in his basement and just follow Napoleon's victim of watching your enemy make mistakes while you sit there and reap the benefits. So
I know, I know that's a popular perspective, Kristen, but I don't see it happening. And this is why. I think that as we have begun to come out of lockdown, and as we are starting to wrestle with these really violent epicenters of major cities that are experiencing, you know, 200% crime sprees, and when you saw the Rasmussen poll on Tuesday of this week say that Trump, on the same day in 2012, Obama was at 44%, Trump's at 51%, that tells me there's a lot of people out there that know that he's working hard, and you say to Joe Biden, you don't even have to show up to give us your ideas. I think the big section of middle voters, the independents, the non-ideologues of the country, look at that and say, well, wait a second. Why is that a case for why we should replace the other guy? What do you say?
Well, I think you could be right. It depends on what Trump does. That's what I'm trying to explain. The onus is on Trump. If Joe Biden doesn't show up and Trump makes a fool of himself and makes, you know, comments that make it seem like he's not in control of the country or the economic recovery, or he acts petty, that right. could benefit Joe Biden. But if Trump really seizes this moment to be a leader and follows data and shows the country that we are implementing policy based on smart data, and he really rises to the occasion, then I think you're right. And then I think Joe Biden has a big problem on his hands.
Well, we will have to certainly let that play out. Now, you've got an interesting thing you're examining for this week's column, and it has to do with the fourth round of stimulus? How many of these have they put out there
fourth
so far?
Round. Yep, fourth round.
What are you seeing in it and about it that bothers you?
Well, you know, Kevin, it's just more of the same. What bothers me about this is the Republicans at this point have allowed the left to just move the goalposts so far to the left over and over, and we keep playing by their rules. So what's going on right now is you're seeing the Republicans essentially roll over and allow the Democrats to use these stimulus packages to put in place their agenda. We effectively have UBI now. You know, all these stimulus packages include direct payments to Americans. They want to keep businesses closed and just keep paying people to keep their businesses closed. The Democrats are now demanding payout to corrupt and debt-ridden state and local governments. I mean, this is everything they've ever dreamed of. COVID has allowed them to implement their left-wing utopia vision, and the infuriating thing about this is the Republicans are letting them do it. It's crazy, Kevin, and that's what we're seeing in this package. It's another one of these big spending $1 to $4 trillion price tag packages that's going to grow government, shrink the private sector, and grow these top-down programs that try to solve everything with big government armies of bureaucrats.
I see what you're saying there, and there's a certain part of me that says that the Republicans can't be that stupid to just let all of that happen. And I think there's another force in all of this that's going to take effect, and that's going to be after Labor Day, when remote learning starts again in earnest in places where parents have already said, in overwhelming majorities, even in pretty progressive towns like where I live, 83% of the parents said, no, our kids want to go to school. We're going to school. And you have these liberal Democrats still try to keep that lockdown in place, not to mention all the small businesses that have suffered. I think there's a backlash coming that nobody sees yet. I could be wrong. I could totally be wrong. I've been wrong before. I've been wrong many times. But I'm telling you, I think that there's a backlash that has not yet been registered, and I'm hoping that I'm right, because I think that's going to be really the driving force behind what happens in November. There's no way you can take a guy who's been a flunky in public policy for 47 years and expect that he's suddenly going to get it right when he's elected to the top office. I just don't see how that happens.
The question will be, who do voters hate more? Do voters on the left hate Trump more, or do voters on the right hate the left more? Not yeah. Biden, but the left, because Biden's a Trojan horse for the left.
Well, that
so
makes
Trump
it an enthusiasm.
Focus on
that. Yeah, that makes it an enthusiasm-based race. And I think on his side, I think the president has a base that's ready to go to war for him. We will see. We will certainly see. And if I'm wrong, Kristen, I couldn't be wrong to a lovelier person. Just ask Joe Borelli.
Well, I hope you're right, Kevin. And I hope that there is a silent majority who's ready to show up. We need it.
We do big time. Hey, good stuff. Good to talk to you again. Be well. Stay safe. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Hi, it's Kevin McCullough, and we are reaching a very important point in the COVID-19 crisis that most people in America don't know anything about. See, the COVID crisis in America has played out along one set of talking points. We must find a cure. We've got to have a vaccine. We need new therapies. We've got to make sure that reopenings begin, which is good. That's what America needs. That's how we will get our life back on track. And it's important for that to happen because of how the COVID crisis has actually interrupted the life of the third world. Well, wait a second, Kevin, what do you mean by that? Well, it's this simple. When the first world, Europe and America and the developed countries on planet Earth, began to experience the COVID crisis, the poverty that was already engulfing third world countries took a deeper and darker hold on all of them. That is nowhere more pronounced than in the Sudan region of Africa. In the northern Sudanese country, those who have been enslaved by northern Sudanese had their conditions become worse.
Slave owners couldn't get as much food, so the little bit that they were already feeding to their slaves got taken away. They also got a harsher crackdown on not getting work done and more brutal circumstances like genital mutilation and starvation, sometimes poking out slaves' eyes who choose to disobey sometimes basic and abusive orders. Friends, these things have been occurring and they continue to occur. But Christian Solidarity International, somebody that we have advocated for the last dozen years or so at Kevin McCullough, all things related to this broadcast, Radio Night Live, the Kevin McCullough Show, and all of our podcasts, one of the things we have been advocating for is the liberation of those slaves so that they're not even in the ownership of those slave masters any longer. See, they came to be slaves while the Sudanese Civil War was underway. And when government powers brokered the peace and South Sudan was created as the world's youngest nation, it didn't address, none of the global powers addressed the continuing slave scenario there. Friends, we can make a difference as we have in years past by choosing to liberate slave by slave on an individual underground railroad negotiated basis, not trading dollars for lives, but trading something that is of value to the slave master, a vaccine for his cattle called Novidium. It will help his cattle survive through the harsh summer and weather extremes. And in exchange, they'll release a slave. CSI has been involved in this negotiation for dozens of years and have helped free tens of thousands. Over 100,000 slaves have now been freed. The vaccine costs about $50. And then in addition to that, CSI would like to offer every slave that is liberated what's called a bag of hope. It includes a tarp that can be turned into a tent. It includes a year's worth of sorghum seed to grow a coming crop. It includes a year's worth of sorghum grain to be able to feed themselves for the first year when they win their liberty. Friends, you can make a life for a slave know that freedom by just giving that gift of $250. They also get a she-goat to help produce some income for the family and gardening tools to help them on their way. It is a wonderful, wonderful way to help someone who has been ravaged by the COVID-19 crisis. Would you help free a slave right now? 888-342-1010 is the number. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. We need your help right now. 888-342-1010. That's 888-342-1010. You can also go to csi-usa.org.
Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, each day we talk about the breaking news through the filter of the front page and what's happening in the world around us and kind of trying to make heads or tails of what it means and why it matters. But every now and then, I love to peer into other areas of life, particularly technology and particularly food. You know that every Tuesday on the show, I talk about technological advances and breaking technology news. And then I'm often sharing my favorite ideas about food as I explore great eateries around the world. But I am very fascinated about my next guest because we're going to combine two of my great loves. How many of you wake up every morning and you have the same routine? You have to go straight to that thing that sits on the counter in your kitchen and push the start button, and usually you've got a pod or something in there that releases the beans, and it starts to make that beautiful thing that gets you going every morning called coffee. Well, what on earth could that have to do with blockchain technology? Well, here to discuss is Paul Chang. He's the global blockchain leader for industries at IBM, and he's here to talk about a very interesting set of events that have taken place with Smucker's 1850 coffee brand. Paul, it's good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thanks for having me, Kevin.
So research tells us that, you know, we want more coffee than ever before. Everybody's got their caffeine routine every morning, et cetera, et cetera. What is Smucker's, why is Smucker's focusing on connecting blockchain and transparency in its process with its 1850 brand coffee?
Well, I mean, Smucker's number one goal is really to satisfy their consumers. And we know there are studies out there that 71% of consumers find traceability to be a very important topic, and some are willing to pay a premium for those. And 1850 coffee being a premium single origin coffee for Smucker's, they recognized that they wanted to provide this transparency for their consumers. And one of the best ways to do that was to leverage IBM's blockchain technology.
Well, we've talked about blockchain a lot in my tech segments, and I know that the ability for it to kind of give greater credibility and verification of things and really any other system that we've developed out there is really rather remarkable. How will it apply specifically in the supply chain as it relates to the production of coffee?
Yes, for the coffee supply chain, we have the actors in the long coffee supply chain securely upload their data into the blockchain platform and provide permission for the brands, such as Smucker's, to be able to knit together the end-to-end supply chain story for a particular batch of coffee beans. So from the farm where the coffee beans were grown, to the processing plants, to the shipping ports, to the roasting plants, you are able to go on the same journey as the coffee has through an app called Thank My Farmer. And in that app, there's a interactive map that you could play with and be able to visualize the entire journey.
I would imagine this would be fun for educational purposes, too, if you could show your kids where you're getting your coffee from. Let's talk about the benefits to the consumers and the farmers. What is the upside here?
Well, clearly the benefits for the consumers is knowing the origins of your coffee. And the 1850 brand is a single origin Arabica beans, which is considered higher quality. And, you know, it's coming from Colombia, one of the best coffee growing regions of the world. So the consumers can, you know, feel secure that their coffee is Arabica and it's coming from Colombia. Now, for the farmers, this Thank My Farmer app allows the consumers in the U.S. to engage the farmers in Colombia in a more meaningful way. The app highlights several social programs that are active in those villages, such as clean drinking water or school supplies or coffee seedlings. And other sustainable agricultural initiatives can be supported simply by using the app. And you know, we as consumers, we don't have to pay the high foreign transaction fee to send a small donation to those programs. And I think it really is a win-win scenario between the farmers and the consumers. And it's really making the world a little smaller.
Yeah. Are we going to see a lot more of this applied to many more industries and even portions of food production?
Absolutely. You know, we've been working together with companies like Dole and Walmart on produce for over a year now. Obviously, we're doing coffee, but things like olive oil, chicken, beef, there are many different products that are being tracked on blockchain because that's what the consumer market is demanding. And companies are trying to, you know, fulfill their promises to them.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be the way of the future for sure. And the more transparency that you can give to that process, I just see immense upside for everyone involved. So people are listening. They want to get more information. Where do we send them to?
Well, they can go to IBM.com/food and you can find this story and other interesting stories there.
All right, IBM.com. Now, I've got in my notes /skills, but it's /food in this case?
It should be /food, yes.
Okay, we're going to make sure we get that right when we post it. IBM.com/food. Try the app. Watch your coffee go from bean pod to your countertop and eventually in your cup of coffee that very morning. Paul Chang, thanks for telling us all about this today.
Yep, thanks for having me, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough Radio, we continue momentarily. Stay with us.
Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit Ancestry.com/health.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. In this day and age, with all the worries, all the riots, all the violence, all the COVID, everything you're facing, it's never been more important to get a good night's rest. And you need every advantage in getting the deepest, most sound sleep you can possibly get. That's why I'm thrilled that my friend Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to make sure you can deeper, faster, and longer than ever before. That's why he's offering the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza sheets. That's why he continues to offer you the lowest price on the best selling pillow of all time. And all MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer. That's MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for your buy one, get one free on the Giza sheets, the special price on the pillows, etc. You can also dial 800-506-2641 and use the promo code KMC.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I was a fighter in the 70s. And when the 2000s hit, I had my shoulder operated on, and I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. And I heard the commercials. I thought, well, I might as well try this. I had retired from teaching karate in the late 90s. And right now I'm teaching again every week since I've been taking Balance of Nature. I'm back at it. And I'm actually sparring with these kids. I'll be 65 in June. It's almost like your body's been starving for this. And you start feeding it, and then everything starts reversing itself. It's just a great thing. I'll keep being one of your preachers of this because it just works. And I can't thank Balance of Nature enough.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KMC. Everywhere I go, oh, I change it all.
Is New York's most beloved billionaire. Most New Yorkers think he would have been a great mayor. And now, New York's Catman, John Catsimatidis, sits exclusively with Kevin McCullough Radio.
Over 130,000 customers had lost power. That number has improved now. But a lot of work is going to be done today. First, to clear streets, to secure the situation, make sure there's no danger, and then to keep restoring power.
And it's all over the place, friends. That was early this morning, Mayor de Blasio talking about what New York City is facing. But in upstate, in Westchester, out on Long Island, in the Hamptons, in North Jersey, in a good swath of central and southern Jersey, you've got hundreds of thousands of people still without the power. And the times are going backwards. They said yesterday it would be, 12 hours, and now it's like 36 hours for some people. What's going on? Let's talk to the man who, I don't know, might be having to face something like this if he became mayor of New York City at some point in time. He is a man who himself is without power, and I'm just grateful that we were able to get a generator and get my house rewired a little bit today. But John Catsimatidis, you're on with Kevin McCullough. Good to have you back, sir.
Kevin, how are you today? I'm actually calling you from my car because I have Wi-Fi in my car.
Yeah.
My house is out of Wi-Fi. My house is out of internet. Good thing I have power because I have we put in a backup generator system. But, Kevin, this is 2020.
Right.
Enough is enough. Enough with these governors and mayors and everybody that hasn't done anything about it in the last 50 years.
John, every time this happens, I hear the same conversation on talk radio and on the news channels and on the TV. I hear the same conversation. Why don't we bury the power lines? Why don't we have the power lines underground? That's what the West Coast has done.
You're right. We'd never have this problem again. But let's say this. Let's not bury them over the next year. Let's say to the power companies, do it over the next 10 years. do it 10% a year.
Yeah.
Every year for the next 10 years and get it done. I don't want the power company that says, oh, we got to raise your prices because, you know, we have to do that. No, do not raise the customer's prices. All we want is good service. That's all we want. And it's your obligation to give us good service. Take 10 years to do it. Do 10% of your customers every year. And then when you get it complete, we'll give you a bonus.
Well, John, you're always thinking as a businessman and as an incentivizer, because that's what you do. You run companies, and energy is something that you have a lot of experience in. I'm just curious, is there room for competition if PSE&G in New Jersey and ComEd in New York decide that they don't really want to take that task on? Do you see an opening in the market for someone that could say, hey, what if we could deliver you more reliable, consistent service?
It's crazy. I don't think there is room for competition. Now, we have to find out what Governor Cuomo is doing with the nuclear plants. We don't want to be short on electricity.
Yeah.
You know,
doesn't appear a lot of anything.
Everybody likes their air conditioning. You know, you don't have to be rich to afford air conditioning these days.
That's true. Well, okay, so the New York, Hamptons, Long Island, Westchester, upstate, New Jersey, everyone's still struggling with that, and it may be, friends, sadly, another 2 or 3 days is what the best experts are telling us is in terms of what they're going to be able to get to. We will keep our eye on that story. John, there's another story this week that you had some good press for. I saw the morning show of, I think it was Fox Local the other day, had you on. Talk to me about what's going on in Lower Manhattan.
We are building, we are completing the church that was destroyed by 9/11. And we're building a beautiful institution. We're building a beautiful church that's going to last 1,000 years. And we'll have 3 million, I would say, parishioners or visitors a year. And it's for all everybody.
Yeah. Now, this will be replacing
It's not just for Orthodox. It's for Catholics. It's for Protestants. It's for evangelicals. It's for Jews. It's for Muslims. It's someplace to go down in the World Trade Center where 9/11 happened. And we'll say, we're never going to forget. We're going to pray for the people that lost their lives. And this will be some place to bring all people together from all religions, and it's ecumenical. Everybody will pray together.
John, I know that this has been a passion project for you, and I know just since I've met you you've been working on this for years. How did it finally come about? What were you able to do in terms of moving the pieces in place to get it to all finally happen?
Well, unfortunately, the previous administration at the Archdiocese, and you know what's worse than politics in Washington? It's hard for anything to be worse than politics in Washington. Politics and religion. You know, to me, it's just doing the right job. I don't believe in politics. You know, it's a lot of, can I say the word BS? And we got a new archbishop that's very, very smart, very qualified. He's only 52 years old, very educated, speaks 7 languages, and has very much common sense. Everybody had has a lot of confidence in him, and we raised an additional $45 million.
Wow.
We raised an additional $45 million since January, and we're going to complete the church since by 9/11/2021, the 20th anniversary, where all our friends died, and it'll be the place where everybody remembers and prays.
Well, I look forward to seeing it, and congratulations, because I know that's been a big, big passion for you personally. I don't know if all of our listeners know you have a connection to the Orthodox Church. It's something that you feel very personal about. And tonight on the big show, which will come your way immediately following Kevin McCullough Radio, we've got Bill Bratton, Paul DiGiacomo, I can't say the last name. Do Italian for me. I've been up since 1 a.m. putting electricity in my house. John McNesby, Curtis Sliwa and Ed Mamet all calling in and reporting on what's going on. John, we should have a great show tonight. I'll see you in just a few minutes.
I look forward.
All right. Kevin McCullough, it's DiGiacomo. I know how to say that. It's Alex is laughing at me. I can see him on the other side. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. We've got my final thought straight ahead, and then it is exclusively here in New York City, Cats at Night. If you're listening anywhere else, it's am970theanswer.com to check that out. Kevin McCullough, come right back. Hi, it's Kevin McCullough, and we are reaching a very important point in the COVID-19 crisis that most people in America don't know anything about. See, the COVID crisis in America has played out along one set of talking points. We must find a cure. We've got to have a vaccine. We need new therapies. We've got to make sure that reopenings begin, which is good. That's what America needs. That's how we will get our life back on track. And it's important for that to happen because of how the COVID crisis has actually interrupted the life of the third world. Well, wait a second, Kevin, what do you mean by that? Well, it's this simple. When the first world, Europe and America and the developed countries on planet Earth, began to experience the COVID crisis, the poverty that was already engulfing third world countries took a deeper and darker hold on all of them. That is nowhere more pronounced than in the Sudan region of Africa. In the northern Sudanese country, those who have been enslaved by northern Sudanese had their conditions become worse. Slave owners couldn't get as much food, so the little bit that they were already feeding to their slaves got taken away. They also got a harsher crackdown on not getting work done and more brutal circumstances like genital mutilation and starvation, sometimes poking out slaves' eyes who choose to disobey sometimes basic and abusive orders. Friends, these things have been occurring and they continue to occur. But Christian Solidarity International, somebody that we have advocated for the last dozen years or so at Kevin McCullough, all things related to this broadcast, Radio Night Live, the Kevin McCullough Show, and all of our podcasts, one of the things we have been advocating for is the liberation of those slaves so that they're not even in the ownership of those slave masters any longer. See, they came to be slaves while the Sudanese Civil War was underway. And when government powers brokered the peace and South Sudan was created as the world's youngest nation, it didn't address, none of the global powers addressed the continuing slave scenario there. Friends, we can make a difference as we have in years past by choosing to liberate slave by slave on an individual underground railroad negotiated basis, not trading dollars for lives, but trading something that is of value to the slave master, a vaccine for his cattle called Novidium. It will help his cattle survive through the harsh summer and weather extremes. And in exchange, they'll release a slave. CSI has been involved in this negotiation for dozens of years and have helped free tens of thousands. Over 100,000 slaves have now been freed. The vaccine costs about $50. And then in addition to that, CSI would like to offer every slave that is liberated what's called a bag of hope. It includes a tarp that can be turned into a tent. It includes a year's worth of sorghum seed to grow a coming crop. It includes a year's worth of sorghum grain to be able to feed themselves for the first year when they win their liberty. Friends, you can make a life for a slave know that freedom by just giving that gift of $250. They also get a she-goat to help produce some income for the family and gardening tools to help them on their way. It is a wonderful, wonderful way to help someone who has been ravaged by the COVID-19 crisis. Would you help free a slave right now? 888-342-1010 is the number. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. We need your help right now. 888-342-1010. That's 888-342-1010. You can also go to csi-usa.org and click on Kevin McCullough's picture.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Friends, I don't know if you've had enough, but can you take one more of this, Mayor de Blasio?
Here to quarantine is a violation of state law, and it comes with serious penalties.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, and it's not. I mean, you're going to try. But write me that ticket, DB. See if I pay it. See if I don't take you to court and make a class action out of you. Just give it a shot there, Mr. Mayor. No. I was saying, and yes, this show, we've gone all over the place, and I'm looking forward to being with John in the next hour here in New York. But all you have to do is just look around. 200% crime rate increase, 12,000 senior citizens killed by Cuomo's policies in the nursing homes. Mayor de Blasio now setting up Checkpoint Charlie's
to keep people from coming back to the city that then the governor, the two doofuses can't be more, you know, Tweedledee and dumb these days. They're like, well, let's have this idea. Hey, beg the rich to come back. I'll take them to dinner. And then there's de Blasio going, yeah, but if they've been anywhere, we're going to make them pay 10 grand. So today, during the monologue, the lovely bride, and I got to say a big shout out to my friend Mark, who loaned us a generator and got us going for the home studio and office. We were able to get everything back up. I felt so bad for my colleague Joe Piscopo this morning, literally doing the show, a four-hour morning show from his garage with the car running to keep his car phone jack charged so he could just get his stuff on the air. And man, what a great job that morning team did this morning, and good job, Joe, if you're listening. But I'm thankful to have, you know, my studio, pretty much everything like I needed is like normal, and we were very fortunate. My friend Mark was helpful with that. But then when I turned on the news and I started looking at all the things, and so I fired off in the monologue, and my bride from the other room comes in. She goes, you know what no one's talking about is you just defunded the police. How are you going to get people to man the checkpoints? Well, here's the mayor's brilliant idea from today's New York Post. The city is asking for volunteers for the NYPD to man its civilian staff to enforce the state's quarantine order for travelers. This is a source that the New York Post has learned privately. A memo was sent out less than an hour before the mayor's announcement today setting up the checkpoints that volunteers will be assigned to Penn Station and Port Authority bus terminal. Wait, I thought he said it was law. I thought he said he had the law on his side. Failure, you know what enforces the law?
Is a violation of state law. And
you know what enforces the law? Police. But you don't want those either. Good luck, Warner. I'm Kevin McCullough. Stick around.